There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on the RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones. Right now we have Chris on the line. And Chris, if you would just hold on one moment. We now have John Lamb on the line. On the line to update us on what's going on in Nevada and hopefully in Oregon as well. How are you doing tonight, John?
Doing great. It's an awesome day here in Nevada.
Awesome. That's what I'd like to hear. Do you tell us what is going on today?
So, yes, we got all the juries seated and selected today. We made it a day early. It was a long day, but we got 16 jurors seated and 12 of them that are actually going to be actually on the trial. The other four are alternative jurors.
Okay.
We weeded out every bad juror that we could find, and that the prosecution was trying to come in there, and we got every one of them granted and got rid of every juror that looked like they would be biased against us.
Wonderful.
We feel really good about it. It went really good. There was two jurors that were definitely biased and tainted, and one of them, the government tried to hide from us, and we uncovered that. I don't know how the defense team did it. They figured it out at the last moment, and there was a juror that actually had went to school for 3 years to become a lawyer, and she is a lawyer. She went to Oregon Bar School for the lawyer, and she's a lawyer here in Las Vegas, Nevada. She went to school with Judge Navarro, the judge that is seated on this case, went to school with her clerk of court, and they were friends. They know each other, and she never told anybody.
And they were going to let her sit on the jury.
Yes, they were going to. The prosecution was fighting to keep her, and here she's a lawyer for one. She went to school with the judge's clerk of court for three solid years and knew her personally. So the defense team did awesome. They uncovered that at the last moment, and that juror ended up getting kicked off. So we got some good jurors. We're ready for trial. Wednesday, tomorrow, we will be considered a dark day. There's going to be no court tomorrow while the defendants prepare some more of their case and talk with their lawyers. And then Thursday morning, we go into opening arguments. And Monday morning, we are calling witnesses. So that's how fast this thing's rolling.
Okay, what time does opening arguments start over there?
It opens at 8:30. 8:30, the government said they need, by 9 o'clock, we will be discussing opening arguments. We'll begin by 9 o'clock sharp. And that's on Thursday morning. The government said they needed several days for all this at first. Today they say they need 15 to 20 minutes of opening arguments, and that's all they need. The defense team says they need up to 2 hours for opening arguments, and that's all they need. So I don't see this case going a long time. They say 10 to 12 weeks. There's no way it's going to go 10 to 12 weeks. We're going to be over with in 3 to 4 weeks at the max, I bet you.
Okay, so let me get this right. Tomorrow there is no court. Thursday, opening arguments begin at 8:30 a.m. And then Friday, is that when you said court starts?
Monday. No court on Friday either. Yeah, no court on Friday. So we only have court Thursday now left of this week, and that's it. Just one more day of court this week. That's Thursday.
Okay. And then Monday, trial starts.
Yes. And then Monday is when the witnesses start being called by the government first. And that's when trial will actually pretty much begin.
Right. Okay. And what time does trial start on Monday?
At 8:30 sharp. So they're doing it Monday through Thursday, starting next Monday, Monday through Thursday from 8:30 sharp. And the judge made a point. I want everybody in their seats in here before 8:30 because I want to start at 8:30 every morning, she says. So 8:30 sharp. Court will be started, and it goes till 4:30 at least every day, maybe till 5. 8:30 to 4:30 for sure.
Okay, so everybody, if you want to be there at the trials, you need to be at the federal courthouse in Las Vegas, Nevada. 8:30 is the latest. They want to start at 8:30 sharp, so you need to be there early. Make sure you're there in support, so that we can also have other individuals there, not only for support, but as witnesses as to what goes on inside that courtroom. Have you heard anything about what's going on in Oregon as of yet?
I have. So today they started with, it was jury selection there in a way. They were vetting different jurors off of paperwork right now. And tomorrow they'll be doing the same thing. And then, Tuesday morning of next week is actual the jury selection when they bring the jurors in. So,
okay.
But today was Dwayne Emmer. All four defendants are officially moved into Portland now, and they are there till the trial is over with. And that's Jake Ryan again, Dwayne Emmer, Daryl Thorne, and Jason Patrick are the four remaining defendants in this next trial there.
Okay, and what time does, if individuals want to get over there to observe in the courtroom over there in Oregon, if you're over in Oregon, what time does that start?
Judge Brown is starting over there at 8 o'clock. And as we've known before in court, she's pretty particular about that 8 o'clock time. She's been hard on the attorneys, and she wants them in their seats 5 minutes before 8. For sure. So 8 o'clock sharp over there also. If you want to get a seat in either one of these courtrooms, court in Oregon is, the court is a lot smaller than Nevada. So, but you want to get there early because of the media, other people that come. If you really want to get in and get in line, I would suggest to get there at least 30 to 45 minutes early, or you may not get a
right.
seat.
So start coming in around 7 a.m., guys, if you just
have
a good, safe time. And in Oregon, you said tomorrow is more of the paperwork on jury selection, but Tuesday is going to be the actual where they bring the jurors in for the jury selection, right?
That's correct, yes. Tuesday will be the actual official date when the audience can actually sit in court and start observing and watching what's going on in this that beginning of that trial.
Okay, so over in Portland, Oregon, the individuals that are facing right now for jury selection that are going to be facing trials, Daryl Thorne, Dwayne Emmer, Jake Ryan, and Jason Patrick, and the individuals in Nevada that are currently where the jury was selected today, and I am so glad that the defense stood their guard and caught they were trying to stack the jury, obviously. With an individual that they knew was very close to a lady that works with the judge that is currently presiding over the case. That is Stephen Stewart, Scott Drexler, Eric Parker, Greg Burleson, Todd Engel, and Ricky Loveline, excuse me. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's Gregory Burleson. Maybe
and
you
Gregory
mentioned his
who?
Name already. Gregory Burleson. And I'm bad at pronouncing his name, but it's B-U-R-L-S-O-N.
Okay. No, I didn't mention his name.
Gregory.
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you? Okay. Gregory is a blind gentleman. He's, I apologize, I don't know his exact age, but he's close to 60 years old. He has went blind since he was incarcerated. So he was not blind until they incarcerated him a year ago. And they neglected him of his medication. It's still under investigation trying to figure out exactly why he went completely blind. The defense team holds the thought that, and I believe the same thing. He was supposed to be on dialysis when he went in there, and they neglected him. They didn't do that. A lot of his medication was, he didn't get that for 2 or 3 months, and his diabetes and everything he has wrong with him, we believe caused him to go blind because of neglect. So he is totally blind, and the doctors don't believe he'll ever regain that, his eyesight again. Today in court, he had the marshals neglected to give him his medicine this morning before court. And it's very, court is very strenuous anyway on any individual, and I'm sure it's even tougher on him because of being blind and still being incarcerated and solitary confinement and being transported from the jails. They get him up about 3 o'clock in the morning. They get him to court, and it's just it's a tough procedure. Well, they failed to give him his medicine this morning, and he pretty much passed out in court. He was having some medical issues. They cleared the courtroom, and they finally gave him his medicine, but it was almost noon before he got his medicine, several hours late.
Wow. And I would say that's a direct, it is, without him getting his medications, you know, and they have no reasons for none of these individuals not to have bailed. They're not charged with a capital offense. They're not charged with murder. And excessive bail shall not be required. They're not allowing them any bail. This man has gone blind because of them refusing to allow bail.
Yes, exactly.
That is my personal opinion, but I mean, they're not giving you some medication, so you're talking about cruel and unusual punishment. And I hope after these individuals win it, I hope that they own every one of them. I hope they see the fire out of them. I hope they own them, get them for millions and millions of dollars, attach liens to their individual properties. Don't just go after the citizens. Go after the individuals for a violation of their oath and bond. Go after their bond, and these individuals should be held accountable in a court of law, real law, not a court system of a kangaroo court, if you will. Now, I've got a question for you, because other individuals do know Tom is in solitary confinement. Are the people in Nevada and in Oregon still in solitary confinement, or are they in general population?
The ones here in Nevada are in solitary confinement. They were supposed to put, and this is what we had a big argument with the marshals today, all these, these six individuals were supposed to be in the same block or the same cell so they can discuss their case, prepare for their case daily. They've got them in individual cells away from each other, so they can't even talk about the case among themselves at night. To keep, to look over their evidence and look over the discovery. It's all locked up and kept away from them. So the defendants were really upset about this. They said, our discovery is locked up, Your Honor. We can't even access it. And we're locked up in solitary confinement. And she's told the marshals to look into it and see what they can do, but they're claiming at Henderson, they don't have room to put them in the same cell. And so they're locked up individually in solitary confinement and lockdown. It's just sad. Over in Oregon, those four defendants over there are actually out on pretrial release, so they're no longer locked up. But they are in the town of Portland, confined there, kind of in hotels or wherever they're supposed to stay throughout this trial. So those four individuals are not in jail at this time.
Okay, so they're on pretrial release. Well, that's good news, because then they'll have, of course, more access to be able to help themselves with gaining and getting information and things like that. So
yes, Jason Patrick.
I'm kind of shocked with the history that's gone on in Oregon. I'm kind of shocked, actually, to hear that.
It is a good shock.
It's a blessing, and just like over in Nevada, as you reported to us yesterday, that the judge decided to allow the audio and video recording the proof to be able to allow the jury to hear all the evidence from those BLM agents. that was also a miracle in and of itself. I believe wholeheartedly God is in this. And
yes.
God is in this on Oregon level, on Nevada level, on this whole thing. And it just needs to be drawn out. You know, right before you came on, we were discussing Tom's case, and we had had a recording on that from Tom and his message to the listeners and to all of the individuals. And there's so many violations. And Chris and I were also discussing, you know, the fact of the matter is, no matter where they found that weapon, I have not seen any proof that they had a search warrant in the first place to be able to search the room that Tom was in, which was open to more than just Tom, obviously. There was other people who had access to that room. However, there was nothing that proves that they had a search warrant in order to search in the first place. On top of that, where is the affidavit of truth sworn to be true and correct for the complaint of that in order to obtain that search warrant with actual probable cause? Probable cause is not hearsay, and they can't use probable cause, and they know. So, like I was just, Chris, who is also on the line right now, need to do a motion to suppress for Tom's case unless they can provide an actual affidavit of truth sworn to be true and correct under penalty of perjury on the complaint and an actual search warrant that was provided in January of 2016. Then, you know, they're going to have to dismiss that because they're going to have to suppress that evidence. Well, with suppressing that evidence, they have nothing.
Yes, exactly. I did speak to Tom today. He called me during the lunch hour, so I had just came out of the courtroom. I turned on my phone, and just a few moments later, he called at the right time, and I got to talk to him for about 5 minutes. I did get some clarifications, and maybe you've already got that, that his court date is on the 13th, and not like I thought it was. So it's on the 13th, Monday the 13th, so this coming Monday. So we've got a call of action for supporters out of Oregon already going to be there that day to support him.
Okay, so it's February the 13th.
Yes, it's Monday the 13th at 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 a.m. Okay. I thought it was, but I wanted to make sure because, you know, we're used to them playing the political games as well. You know, they like to switch that stuff too. Now, that's in Lane, Oregon, correct? What courthouse is he going to be at?
That's going to be actually in Eugene. So the Eugene Federal Courthouse in Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene Federal Courthouse. Okay.
Yes. And there's quite a few supporters over there in that in Eugene area, so I suspect a nice little group is going to show up there Monday in support of him.
Right, right. Well, I absolutely hope so. I tell you, I wish I could be there myself.
I'll report to you and tell you who's all down there Monday after mm-hmm. the court hearing, because they're going to be calling me and telling me I'm going to be flying that day from Nevada to Portland, so I will get there mm-hmm. after the court hearing. But by Monday evening, I'll be there in Portland and mm-hmm. can update you kind of what happened if you haven't already heard by that time.
That'll be wonderful. I really appreciate everything you're doing. And, you know, Chris and I were discussing as well. We were talking about all of the different, you know, people are under this delusion that the Bill of Rights is a Bill of Rights. It's not. It's a Bill of Limitations. I don't know why they call it a Bill of Rights. It's not a Bill of Rights. You're born with your rights. They're unalienable rights. The Bill of Rights, or what I call them, is a Bill of Limitations, because that is what the federal government is not allowed to touch. That is what the central government, if you want to call it that, is not allowed to touch, even though in 28.3002, Section 15 A, B, and C, it clearly tells you that the United States, not the United States of America, but the United States, is actually a corporation. And
exactly.
So that's what we try to really get people to understand. Stop thinking that the Constitution gives you any rights. It does not. It is a document that limits the federal government. We had just gone over Article 1, Section 8, the entire thing, letting the people know, look, this is what the federal government, central government, or the corporation, whichever one you choose to call it, is allowed to do. That's it. You know, and so when they take, it doesn't matter if it's quote-unquote a felon in possession of a weapon. They have a right to defend their life and their family and their community just as anybody else does. Once they've been convicted, they've turned their suit, they have served their time, they've paid their fine, and you then tell them, well, you can no longer have this right, then what you have done is cruel and unusual punishment, and you are trying to punish them the rest of their life for something that they have already paid their time for and paid their fines for. So you need to understand, when you support them being disarmed, you support yourself being disarmed. Because with the way that the situation is with the federal government, which drives me nuts, because people go, oh, you know, I can't abide by the stuff in the Bible. That thing is got too many rules. Are you kidding me? That Bible is very small compared to what the federal government puts out there. So they can anything unlawful and illegal. They can make anybody a felon if they want to, and you need to understand that. If someone has ill intent, it doesn't matter whether they have a felony or not. If they have ill intent, they will get themselves a hands on a weapon, even if they have to buy it from the ATF themselves. Just saying.
Almost every case that we have had here in the states have been committed. All these mass murders and crimes have been committed by people that were not felons. So it wasn't felons that were committing these crimes, these so-called murders and mass murders and crimes.
Well, you know, and even on that note, it doesn't matter. The point of the fact is, if someone has ill intent, that piece of paper that says you're not allowed to have it because you're a felon, and we're going to charge you just because you have a weapon for self-defense, is insanity, you know?
And exactly.
The ones who are supposed to be regulating this, first of all, I am a law-abiding citizen. When I say law-abiding, I am not talking about just codes and this, that, and the other. I'm talking about duty-bound, constitutional, law-abiding individual. And I am very strict adherent, or to a point, as well as I can be, biblical stance. With that being said, why am I going to ask, I'm just going to ask you this simple question, why am I going to ask a criminal for permission to own a weapon for self-defense? Would you ask a criminal for a weapon to be able to defend yourself and your family? Would you do that?
I don't think I would.
Right. Well, so here's my point.
Yes.
The quote-unquote ATF are known criminals. Why?
Yes.
Because they ran guns and sold guns to known drug cartels, which caused over, when you're talking about, you know, a lot of people talk about the three deaths that were tied to Fast and Furious here. What about all the deaths over on the Mexican side? You're talking about over 200 deaths and all of this other stuff. Why am I going to ask a criminal agency for permission for me to be able to defend myself and my family? That agency needs to be completely abolished. Now, there's some things coming out in the news that they're going to try to reverse some stuff. Good on them. That needs to be abolished in the first place. Prohibition, you know, they're ATF for a reason. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I went over Article 1, Section 8 earlier. First of all, alcohol, the prohibition on that was ended in the Constitution. Okay, so that needs to be a null and void. Tobacco, they never had the authority to do it in the first place. Firearms, oops, there goes that Second Amendment. They never had the authority to do that in the first place either. The entire agency needs to be completely abolished, gotten rid of. It's an unconstitutional agency. How many millions and billions of dollars would we save with that agency getting abolished, and how many more lives would be saved because of it?
They'd probably pay off the national debt pretty quick.
Exactly, and then we don't have to worry about them arming drug cartels with weapons that we can't even get a hold of.
Yes.
You know, and that's just my personal opinion, because if we're going to go constitutional, then let's go constitutional.
Exactly.
You know? So with that being said, thank you so very much, John, for coming on and giving us updates. We really do appreciate you. So we'll be looking forward to an update from you on Thursday, because tomorrow there is no new updates. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's no updates tomorrow, so Thursday will be the next day that I'll have some good updates.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much for your time and for keeping us updated as to what is going on in Nevada and in Oregon. And everyone, if you want to, John is doing recordings and updating via Facebook live stream. Is that right?
It's like that's correct. Facebook. Yes.
Okay, and you can find him on Facebook under John Lamb, LAMB. And let me. Where was it that you were from? It'll pop up. Where in Montana?
Bozeman, Montana. So if they look up John Lamb for Bozeman, Montana, they should find my page. It has pictures of Lavoie on the front cover, so they can find that, Lavoie Finicum, and hopefully mm-hmm. they'll spot that. I know there's not too many John Lambs out there with that left profile.
Right, absolutely. Well, I just want to really thank you very, very much for that. And Chris is on the line. Chris, did you want to say anything to John?
Well, certainly I was most pleased and pleasured to have made the acquaintance of such a prolific and affectuous gentleman this afternoon, and he had the kindness to come over and say hi after he came
yes.
in.
Oh, did y'all get to meet today?
We did. I got to shake his hand and give him a hug, so it was my honor, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. I wasn't aware that y'all got to meet today. Now, see, you just put a smile on my face, guys.
Yeah.
Well, something that everyone should be aware of that's planning on attending the courts is they have put an exclusionary attendance policy where you cannot take any electronic devices into the court. And then they especially re-changed their conditions to you could not even have it on the floor. Whenever I got there, I had come in pretty late and was going to wait for John to come out of the courtroom and made it up to the seventh floor. And that I knew I wasn't going in the room. I was just going to sit outside and wait and look at my email and stuff. And they advised me as soon as I got there, like somebody had called them and warned them, one of those court watchers or whatever they thought I was, or constitutionalist or sovereign citizen or truth terrorist, was coming up there. And they had a cell phone. And, you know, of course, I had no intentions of going into the courtroom with a cell phone. Yeah, I had it in my hand. I could have hiked back to 6 blocks with my car to put it in there instead, I suppose, but that didn't seem to be tenable at the point. So anybody that's going to that place, you probably want to secure your cell phone and not take it in there and not risk it.
Well, give me just 1 second, because I want to touch base with you on that, and we'll be right back after a couple of words from network sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RVN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and you can find his information at courtroomwatch.org. So, Eric.
Hey, Lori. Can you give me 30 seconds, Lori?
I was going to ask you if you would chime in about the recording and tell them what they need to do, because it is unlawful for them to refuse recording in the courtroom. Go ahead.
Yeah, you read my mind. Okay, in the Ninth Circuit, which is, I believe, where we're talking about, right? We're in the Ninth Circuit with this Oregon case, correct? Or is it the 11th?
John, which circuit is it? John hung up. Anyway.
All right, so whether it's the 9th or the 11th doesn't much matter, because both of those circuits have already had cases. One of them is called Fordyce versus the City of Seattle. Another one's called Smith versus the City of Cumming. They can both be found in a letter called Right to Record Public Proceedings. They can be found at courtroomwatch.org, courtroomwatch.org. Scroll down until you see the Right to Record Public Proceedings. And then download that letter and print it out, fill in the blanks, it's pretty much a standard letter, other than it's blank where you would fill in your name and the name of the judge and whoever you're submitting it to. It's pretty simple, straightforward, and it cites those two federal court cases.
that declare, you know, and that both of them say almost the same thing. Both of the federal cases both say the First Amendment protects the right of the public to record matters of public interest on public property. And the second one, Smith versus the City of Cummings, says, and specifically a right to record what public officials do on public property. So it's really clear. So if nobody's filed, it's much more difficult for them to reject the cameras once you file the paper with the court. So I recommend, and the more of those letters they get, the better. So I encourage everybody to go to courtroomwatch.org, print out that right to record letter, fill it in, make sure it's tight, and just hand it to the judge's clerk, the court clerk, in the morning when you get there, or as soon as you can. And they'll file it, and the judge will have to review your motion to record and give you a right to argue. If they deny you, give you a chance to argue and rebut. So insist on that as well. You'd like an oral argument in front of the court if they're contemplating denial of the cameras, because once it's pretty clear it's in their circuit. So, and it also, even if they continue to deny and lock the cameras out, ask them in writing to put the decision in writing, and they'll write up a brief thing that says we denied your camera because of this or that. And then that'll give you a much better chance to sue them later on in federal court for for violation of your First Amendment right to record matters of public interest on public property. It'll also give
them standing having that letter.
Right, and it'll also give the defendants a chance for an overturn on appeal due to the denial of a public trial clause. It's the public medium public trial clause in the Constitution. And part of your right is if the public wants to film that trial, you have every right to have that trial filmed so the entire world can see what's going on. That's part of your public trial. So it would be a violation of the public trial clause.
I can't remember which case it was. Maybe you remember it, Eric, but there was a case that was reversed because the defendant wanted one of his family members to be able to record it, and it was denied by the judge. And so when he did the appeal because of it, it was refused to be allowed to be recorded. They actually threw out his case and reversed the decision because it wasn't considered a public trial. Do you remember which case that was?
I do not have that off the top of my head. I just know the two that affirmed the right to record, and that was Fordyce and Smith, but they can both be found in that letter. It's all really simple. Just download it and fill it in, people. And so anybody out in Oregon is listening to this, so we can get the word to John later tonight or tomorrow, Lori. He can, because he's a legitimate member of the media. And so even if they try to hold that standard, even though it's unlawful, they may try to say, well, you have to be a member of the media, blah, 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 which you don't. You only have to be a member
of the
public.
Everybody is a member of the media.
That's true, but he could also, but it just fortifies his case they're going to have not much room to wiggle out of it since it's in a federal court case in their own circuit. So I would highly recommend people file with the court if you want a film or a video record.
Now, is Chris still on?
Where to find that letter on Eric's website?
I hope it's still up there.
If you cannot find it on courtroomwatch.org, find me on Google Plus, Lori, Lorri Anderson, Anderson, on my Google Plus. Go into Courtroom Observers collection and scroll through it because it will be on there.
Yeah, we've had some interference with both our domains, Courtroom Observers and Courtroom Watch. So a lot of the stuff, once again, people is posted at Lori Anderson's Google Plus. It's Lori with two R's. And it's her Google Plus account under the Courtroom Observers page. So,
and the way that you know for sure that it's mine, just to let everybody know, it has my picture and it's got a huge Liberty Bell. So if it doesn't have a Liberty Bell, it's someone copying me. It is not me. It's a huge Liberty Bell with individuals on horses and things like that. So.
Thanks for the help on that, Lori. Yeah, it's posted up at Lori's as well. So people, you find it, download it, print it out, submit it to the court ASAP, have as many people do it as possible, and you should be able to get the cameras in. I have had people call me and say, the letter worked. So I know it has worked in some instances. It may or may not in this case, but give it a shot. Your best try.
Right, and I want to explain this one more time. If you find me on Google Plus, you will have to find me on Google Plus, and then I have collections. And in those collections, I have a Courtroom Observers collection. You click on that collection, and in there, you'll probably have to scroll down. It was put in there a little while ago, but just scroll down until you find it. It's the Right to Record document. And usually also, if they want to check any of the things that I go over on the show, like with articles or different documents and stuff, what I normally do is I put that, I've got a collection for Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Media as well. And you can actually follow those specific collections. And so I also post the sources and the different links in those collections as well. So individuals who listen to the radio show can actually go right to it and then say, oh, okay. And usually, not right this second, but usually I put as referenced to on RTR Truth Radio broadcast on such and such a date to make it easier for the individuals. I don't always get the ability to do that, but I do that most of the time. So hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier. Chris, are you going to be out there on, let's see, in Nevada? I think he said that they are not, they're not doing any court tomorrow.
He said Thursday, but Thursday I have two other court-required attendances that I'll be attending regrettably, but later on, maybe if they don't lock me up again for some preposterous absurdity, like, we'll see.
Right. Well, I know that it's supposed to, I think he said that the trial is actually going to start on Monday.
Right.
And on Thursday is when opening arguments are going to actually begin. I really hope that somebody at the sound of my voice that is going to be there on Thursday heard what Eric said. Go to my Google Plus, Lori, L-O-R-R-I, Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. Find me on Google Plus. Click on Courtroom Observers Collection. Scroll down and find the Right to Record document. You can open it up and you can download it. You can print it and fill it out. Make sure it gets taken to the proper part of the court. It can be, Eric, who do you normally hand it to when you go over there? Do you hand it to the judge or the clerk of court? Or who are you handing it to?
Yeah, go to the clerk, the judge's clerk, the court clerk, and just file it with him or her and ask them if they could make a copy. Stamp it and file it. Stamp it, make a copy, and file the original and hand you a copy. That's the usual procedure. That's as close as you're going to get to being able to get the cameras in. So you know, if you get there a little early, the judge's clerk will usually be there if the court's about to be in session. Submit your letter. They'll stamp it. They'll make a copy of it. Give you a copy back of the stamped filed copy, and of course they'll want to file the original. And then the judge will have to look at that before they really go any farther with the proceedings. And they'll either see that they're kind of stuck and let the cameras in, or they'll deny and just come what may, because a lot of times they'll just circle the wagons and defy their own case precedent, defy their own statute, defy their own procedure, defy their own law. I saw a judge in New York defy his own written ruling openly, and so there's not much justice. This is why we have to have massive activism. People there is more important than anything, but filing the papers properly and having the people there is usually a really good recipe for victory, as we saw with the Oregon cases. The jury nullification message got through, and the jurors after the trial said that it did. So let's have that happen again. A repeat of that every case from here on in would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the great thing about this too is the individuals who were involved in the Oregon case where they were found not guilty, those individuals now have that knowledge, and how much you know they are going to educate others about this is your right and your duty.
Well,
it's going to start spreading like wildfire to people. who are getting this information, because this is the way, and Eric and I and Tom and we all agree, because we have so much to fight on every level. Like I've explained to our listeners, and I've said this until I'm blue in the face, get voter registration rolls. You know, I understand the difference between common law and admiralty. I understand the fact that the courts these days are not acting lawfully, but the point of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, whether we like it or not, we have a system right now where if we don't educate individuals what their duties and responsibilities are as a juror, whether it be a petit jury or whether it be a grand jury, then what is going to happen is people are going to continue to get incarcerated for nonviolent and no victims at all whatsoever in the cases. So when we educate them, whether it be for the grand jury or whether it be for the petit jury, even in the admiralty system, they cannot violate your unalienable rights if the jurors know what's going on. If they know what their duties and responsibilities are as a juror, then they still cannot violate your rights, even in an admiralty court. That is why it is so important to educate them on that, because that is how you fight back the system and you stop the unconstitutional codes and laws. And, you know, like I said, later on in different issues, I can go back into documents from 1787 in secret documents in Congress assembled, of where they were exposing. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you know this, Chris, but I'm sure you probably do because you're very well informed. All the way back in 1787, yeah. That is the first time I saw the reference for the New World Order. I mean, excuse me, not the New World Order. Not the New World Order. I need to correct myself. The North American Union. That was what they were doing when they pulled this Constitution in the first place. And the unconstitutionality of it, the way that they did it in those secret documents, you can find that on unionstatesassembly.org and or .info. And you can go to the actual, it'll have congressional documents. And when you click on that, these are real congressional documents that they got a hold of. And it shows you just how because, you know, we have more than one constitution. We've got the Constitution of the United States, and we've got the Constitution for the United States of America. Well, it shows you how it was usurped in the first place. And the reason they did that was because they flipped it. They flipped it when it was a confederation. They flipped it from the power was in the hands of the people to the power was given to the central authority, and it exposes that in 1787. In 1787. How amazing and smart were these individuals?
Some call them the founding scoundrels.
They were. And even in the quote-unquote Constitution, you know, it's in perpetual union. And people don't understand. They've been taught, just like I was taught for many years, be scared of Confederation, the Confederacy, bad, 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 slap you on the hands, bad, 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 racism, bad, bad, bad. You know, it wasn't. Confederation is simply a union of nations or states, because at the time, back in that time, state meant nation. And so what happened was it was a union of those individuals, sovereign nations that joined together in perpetual union. And so many people have been taught to fear that Confederacy word. But if they actually looked up the definition of what it really meant, you'd realize we're actually a confederation. We are not a constitutional republic. We're actually a confederation. We are a union of sovereign, independent nation states that join together in agreement. And even if you look at the Constitution, you understand that because we are the United States, plural, not United States. We are not, one state at all. We are a union of different states. And then when you research what, of course, a constitution is, a constitution is laws that govern a nation, okay? Well, if there are laws that govern a nation, then how can you justifiably say that we are one nation? Because we are not, because each state has its own constitution. We are a union of many nations together that are independent and sovereign, which you can read in your own constitutions to look it up and prove it. That's why there's been this struggle, excuse me, from the beginning. They were trying to flip it from that confederation into that quote-unquote other way around, because what it did was the confederation did not give the central authority the over us. It was we, the people, were above the town, city, state, and then, of course, that little tiny central government. And with that constitution, they flipped it. And that's, you know, one of the issues that we have. But it was expensive, 1787. Excuse me, everyone. I apologize. I don't have a mute button on the phone I'm on, and I'm getting all choked up. Eric and or Chris, would y'all like to add to that or comment on that, or what are your thoughts about that?
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you certainly are very well educated on this, Lori, and I'm sure Eric is also. He's obviously shown his intellect, his studied due diligence and learned state of knowledge of the law, and this is something we all as Americans have a duty to do, not only to know the law, but to be articulate and able to exercise the law in order to defend ourselves from being attacked by government agents and actors acting outside scope, sphere, and color of law, and therefore becoming outlaws. And these are really critical things that the American people have been deprived of. In fact, I think it's Mark 11 says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, you hide away the truth from the people." And this is exactly what they're talking about, those attorneys who want to keep the truth from the people and keep us from being appraised of it or learning about it, and having the audacity to be outspoken and to utilize the law and the actual law versus their statutory codes, policies, procedures, and other colors of law, that which has with the appearance of law. Many people are duped out of their rights and therefore deprived of the due process of law.
Right, because what happened was they turned rights into privileges. That's just like I did a YouTube one time, and I addressed it to civil rights, constitutionalists, and social justice warriors about civil rights. Why do you keep screaming about civil rights? That is a delusion. It is unalienable rights. When you go to the government and ask them to confirm that you have this right, anything the government says that you have a right to do says that they can take it away, that right. Therefore, it is no longer a right. It is a privilege.
In fact, Lori,
not a civil right. You have an unalienable right.
You're exactly correct. In the 10th Amendment, it talks about rights that belong to the people other than to the state. And although some of our rights are preserved in the Constitution and the enumerated protections you spoke of before, our rights come from our creation and the Creator, not from your government's spin.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't call them a Bill of Rights. I call them a Bill of Limitations, because they don't grant me anything. They don't grant anybody anything. They limit what the federal government or the federal corporation is allowed to touch. And so I call it a Bill of Limitations because it needs to be accurately called that. That's just my opinion.
And I argue with you when you're right.
I say the same thing. It's a declaration of limitation, and that's pretty much what it is. Or, you know, there's wish there was a little more penalty in there for violation of it. So maybe we can work on that as the future goes along to put penalty in for the people who violate the constitutional provisions that we enjoy and the limitations that are on them. There needs to be more immediate, swift penalty. So government doesn't turn into the giant nightmare that it has become.
Well, hopefully that's going to... I do know that some news had come out, and we don't have enough time to cover tonight. I will try to touch base on it tomorrow about some rules being rolled back via the ATF. But, you know, my thing is, why do they exist in the first place? Every one of the things that they allegedly cover is unconstitutional for them to cover in the first place. Just saying. And if you want to go even deeper than that, ATF is at the seat of government, which the government is limited. Article 1, Section Clause 8, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 limits them to 10 Mile Square, which is District of Columbia. And if you want the code to back it up, you can use 4 U.S. Code 72, so, because anything that's at the seat of government has to remain inside the District of Columbia. The states are writing their own code.
Of course, the District of Columbia is only that 10-mile square, which is the District of Criminals, and the federal properties that they own within the states by virtue of Article 1, Clause 8, Section 17, enumerated utilizations.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, we have all these things going on, but the most important thing, and I really feel this in my whole heart, I know you do as well, Chris, I know you do as well, Eric, we have to make sure everybody, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We're going to accomplish this goal to educate even the corporate citizens about jury duty, rights, and responsibilities and nullification.
Especially the corporate citizens,
because they're the only ones that are going to be called for pettit juries, guys. They're the only ones that are going to be called for the grand juries in that admiralty court. So we have to get the information to them, and I think getting the voter roll registrations is one way to do it. We can get those roll registrations. Do mass mailings, even if it's only in your area, and you do mailings to them periodically, because those are the ones that are going to be chosen. And I know that can be done because that's how the politicians actually reach out to the voters. They get the voter registration rolls, and then they mail to the registered voters their information so that you will vote for them for candidacy. So I know there's a way to do it. And if
I've seen them with all kinds of nice platitudes about all the things they're going to do for you, and here's what we're going to do. Government really needs to stop doing anything except reversing what it's already done.
Right. I mean, you know, and I went over Article 1, Section 8 with everyone earlier. There is nowhere in there. And you know, this drives me. If you're claiming to be constitutional, why are you going to try to repeal and replace Obamacare? Get rid of it. The only reason health care is expensive is because the government got involved in it in the first place. And on that note, I want to thank you very much, Eric. Thank you very much, Chris, for joining tonight. Thank you very much to John Lamb. And I will say that I've really enjoyed y'all's conversation, as well as just thank you for joining in and being true to the heart of the real movement for the union, for our people. And on that note, I want to say thank you. God bless you. Each and every one of you have a wonderful night. Join us again tomorrow night.
God bless the Union of States United.
Amen to that. And as always, watch your backs and check your facts. God bless you and good night.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.